This morning I'm going to talk about a topic that I'm not sure that many of us have actually considered or really thought about, and that is the wisdom of God. It was 2 weeks ago, and you know, Bishop said, you know, hey, you'll be up soon, make sure you give me an outline. And I looked at him like, you know, what am I going to talk about? But for quite some time, I've been thinking about this particular subject, you know, the wisdom of God. It's one of God's attributes that really we cannot comprehend it fully. Think about what it means for God in his wisdom to orchestrate and put into place all the things that he has done, really is mind-blowing. Really what spurned or what got me thinking about that was Pastor Sunday, in listening to a speech of his, gave an assignment or homework. And what he talked about was Job 28. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But I've learned that whenever the fathers of the house, when they give you an assignment, you know, you want to do a little bit of homework and take it to heart. So that's some learnings there for me. In thinking about the wisdom of God, God has a lot of attributes. For example, there's the sovereignty of God. There's the holiness of God. There's God's love. But when you think about the wisdom of God, it is the wisdom of God that makes all those things work. It is the wisdom of God that allows him to operate the way that he does. And without that wisdom, God he wouldn't be God. And one thing that when Bishop, communicating back and forth, I admitted to him, I said, you know what, in terms of what we've been talking about in this house, the miraculous and the supernatural, I said, you know what, I don't know that what I have really fits with what we're currently going through in this house. But the more I think about it, it's a supernatural attribute. And it's something that if we got a hold of and if we were able to see fully, our walks as believers would be changed dramatically. Our nation would be changed dramatically. If we operated within the wisdom of God, if every aspect of our lives was driven by the wisdom of God, we would be able to change lives dramatically. Our lives would not be the same. So this morning, the title of this message is The Search for Wisdom. The search for wisdom. There's a lot of things that are intriguing about when you look at God and his wisdom ways. For example, I was reading recently about the birth of Jesus. And if it was up to me and you to create a salvation plan, what would we do? If it was up to me and you, would you have actually recognized that God had to come in the form of man and experience the things that we do in order for him to be able to relate to us? Would you have, would it have been a virgin impregnated by the Holy Spirit and brought forth? These are things that when you take the time to think about it, you realize how awesome, not only how awesome God is, but how much reverence you need to have for him. And how much, when you get a hold of who he is, how much your life could be entirely different and impacted by it. So there are a couple of things that I found about the wisdom of God. First of all, the wisdom of God is superior than anything that we could ever imagine. By the way, I'm going to give like two or three points about this, but those are not my main points. And I remember as a kid, when my father would preach, he would have three main points. And I know once he got to the third one, it was almost time to go, so I was kind of excited. But first, the wisdom of God is superior than anything that we could ever imagine. You don't have to turn to it, but Romans 11:33-35 says, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, who has first given to him and it shall be repaid to him? Can you imagine that nobody's ever given God counsel? Nobody. Nobody's ever given God counsel. Nobody has ever instructed him on exactly what to do. Nobody's ever, you cannot even imagine somebody giving God counsel and giving God orders. Also, his ways, when it comes to the wisdom of God, his ways are not our ways. Isaiah 55, verse 8 through 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts." So there's a superiority in the wisdom of God. His thoughts are not ours. But even more importantly is the wisdom of God is available to us. And you can see throughout the Bible how the wisdom of God operated. For example, you look at Joseph. The wisdom of God is what propelled him. I want to mention that it's important to understand that the wisdom of God is for a predetermined purpose. So everything that God does, he does it because ultimately there is an end to it. And that end is to ultimately give him glory, right? So everything that he does, for example, looking back at Joseph and how what may seem something that his brothers never considered, just selling them because they were jealous. It turned out that was actually to bring about the end, because when the famine hit, guess what? Joseph was already in position to aid and to help the children of Israel become what they were. And that was also part of God's salvation plan. When you look at the Exodus, for example, an individual named Bezalel, when God wanted to make the things for the tabernacle, God gave him supernatural wisdom and skill to be able to be a craftsman and to develop things that you would never imagine, and things that before him there was no knowledge of. So here it is, God imparting wisdom on an individual for his specific purpose. So it's important to note that when it comes to the wisdom of God, God uses his wisdom for a predetermined purpose. Amen? So we're going to look at Job chapter 28. And Job is actually a very interesting passage or chapter of scripture. And I've read Job time and time again, and I never really considered it, but when you look at the book of Job, so Job is an individual that was righteous. He's an individual that was very wealthy. I think if I recall correctly, the Bible says of all the men in the East at that time, Job was the most wealthiest. Job was the most richest. But here it is, one day, Satan roaming to and fro, up to no good, as always. And he talks to God, and God gives him permission to afflict Job, basically. So the one thing that you realize in the book of Job is that God has to give the devil permission to do anything. Anything. That's interesting to me. I don't know about you, but that's interesting to me, because really the application is there is nothing in our lives that God does not have control over. There is no situation in our lives that God is not at the forefront. And anything, as a matter of fact, because of Jesus Christ, the devil really has no hold on us. The devil has no hold on us. Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit is the power for us to overcome the devil. So that was interesting to me. The second thing that was interesting to me was the fact that Job's friends really did not believe him. How interesting it is to think that the people, your friends, your road dogs, at the end of the day, they're the ones telling you, you must have done something wrong. They did not believe him. So what kind of friends are those? So there's a lesson there about the type of company that you keep, right? And second and third, his wife did not believe him. And interesting to me also is that, you know, Job was not the first man to be accused of doing something that he did not do by his wife. So that's interesting too in itself. But in all of that, in all of that, hey, D got me back on track. In all of that, you know, what we see is the sovereignty of God. And Job 28 talks a little bit. If you look at some of your Bibles, it talks about the discourse of wisdom. But what I say is the search for wisdom. So the first thing that I find, we'll go through it, is that wisdom is something that God reveals and it's not found by human efforts. So Job chapter 28, verse 1. Says, surely there is a mine for silver and a place where gold is refined. Iron is taken from the earth and copper is smelted from ore. Man puts an end to darkness and searches every recess for ore in the darkness and the shadow of death. He breaks open a shaft away from people in places forgotten by feet. They hang far away from men. They swing to and fro. As for the earth, from it comes bread, but underneath it is turned up as by fire. Interesting to me there that the earth is actually working as well. So we may consider ourselves to work, but the earth also works to produce these things, the things that we think are treasures and the things that we believe are valuable. Verse 6 says, its stones are the source of sapphires, and it contains gold dust. That path no bird knows, nor the falcon's eye seen. The proud lions have not trodden it, nor has the fierce lion passed over it. He puts his hand on the flint. He overturns the mountain at the roots. He cuts out channels in the rocks, and his eye sees every precious thing. He dams up the stream from trickling. What is hidden, he brings forth to light. But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? In all those things, right, in all those things, the earth producing these things, beneath the earth, all these things are going on. But where can wisdom be found, and where's the place of understanding? Job says, where is that place that the acquisition of knowledge? By the way, a component of wisdom is knowledge, the ability to know things. But for us, we can acquire knowledge, we can have a lot of information, we could have as many facts as we want, but if we cannot put that into a productive use, then we do not have wisdom. So Job says to ask the question, so where is wisdom found? And the ability to understand, the ability to use knowledge in a productive way, where is that? So Job asked that question. The second thing that I see is no value can be placed on wisdom. No value can be placed on wisdom. So we'll pick up from verse 13. It said, man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not mine, and the sea says, it is not with me. It cannot be purchased with gold. Wisdom cannot be purchased with gold. So anything that we may put of value or priceless to us, we cannot purchase wisdom with it. Nor can silver be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Neither gold crystals can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry of fine gold. It says, no mention shall be made of coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. And he asks the question again. He says, from where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? You know, I don't know if you've ever actually thought of that question. Have you ever considered wisdom in such a manner that you would say, where does wisdom come from? You know, God has given man the ability to make things, to comprehend things, to do a lot of things, but where did it actually come from? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13 to 18. Don't have to turn there, but no value can be placed on wisdom. It says, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profit of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and here in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Wisdom, there is no value that can be placed on wisdom. And as a matter of fact, what Proverbs is also telling us is that once we gain wisdom, our lives are transformed. Our ways are pleasant. Our desires cannot compare. When we have wisdom, our desires are properly aligned. So Proverbs, another proverb. Proverb, by the way, the Proverbs, Ecclesiastics, and the Book of Job are considered wisdom literature. So, you know, if you want to find out, in thinking about this subject or in thinking about this particular attribute of God, there were different places that, you know, with it, just considering where I could go with it. You know, for example, in the book of 1 Corinthians, which is one of my, I would say one of my favorite books, starting off with chapter 1, as it goes down, Paul was addressing some things. And one of the things that he got into is talking about the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God. Talking about how foolish and there he says, you know, even the foolishness of God is wiser than the wise, you know, the wisest man. You can't even imagine it. But just to bring it back here, Proverbs chapter 8 verse 11 says, "For the wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared to her." So again, no value can be placed on wisdom. The third point that I see in the book of Job 28 is that God prepared wisdom and unveils it to men. Did you ever consider that wisdom was actually prepared? It almost implies that God has a wisdom above wisdom. It's unimaginable, but wisdom was actually prepared. And if you look at the book of Proverbs, wisdom actually speaking of herself and talking about how she was prepared, how she was there during the creation, how she was part of the foundation of the earth, and how God admires and lavishes at the fact that wisdom was produced. So let's look at finish up Job chapter 28. So we'll pick up back on verse 21. It says, It is hidden from the eyes of all living, and concealed from the birds of the air. Destruction and death says, we have heard a report about it with our ears. God understands its ways, and he knows its place, for he looks at the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heavens to establish a way for the wind and apportion the waters by measure. When he made a law for the rain and a path for the thunderbolt, then he saw wisdom and declared it. He prepared it. Indeed, he searched it out. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. So God prepared wisdom and looked at it and said, what is wisdom? Wisdom is to fear me. And understanding is to depart from evil. So wisdom, I believe, is manifested in the person of Christ. Because in the person of Christ is who was the only man to ever walk on the earth and actually applied wisdom in every situation appropriately. And we have something to learn from that, because the learning there is that if we follow after Christ, if we seek after him, if we seek after his ways, that we too can apply wisdom in the proper manner to the proper end that God has designed for us. So Proverbs 3 verse 7 and 8 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. See, the one thing when you think about our acquisition of knowledge is that we have to come into knowledge. We have to experience. We gain knowledge through our experience. For example, when my son gets to the age where he wants to drive, he's counting on the fact that I've had experience of driving and I could pass it on down to him. Well, for God, it's not the same. God's wisdom is part of his omniscience, meaning that he already knows. He knows everything. We have to learn those things. And so our wisdom comes from knowing God and seeking after God. And if we decide and commit to knowing God, then we too can have the wisdom that he possessed. So I want to close out with some of the things that wisdom can produce in the life of believers. One of the things that wisdom can produce in the life of a believer is the ability to see a matter and judge it the way God would judge it. As a matter of fact, for me, the definition of wisdom to me is the ability to have the perspective of God. The ability to have the perspective of God. If you have the perspective of God, then in any matter, you could judge it correctly. I had a conversation earlier this week with Cavante. We were just rapping. And not rapping literally, but we were just talking. But one of the things we were kind of reflecting on some of the things that were happening in the news, some recent event. And one question that Cavante asked me, he said, "So, Joe, if you were Jesus, what would you have done?" And, you know, kind of like, what would Jesus do type thing? And I said, "You know what, Cavante, I don't know, because I'm not Jesus." But then I thought about it, and I said, well, I think, I don't know. But I say Jesus would probably not have let the situation get to where it did, because he already knows the intent of a man. And if in every instance that you look at the Bible, he already knew the intent of individuals, so he addressed the issue immediately. It never escalated to the point that it could be. So it's important that when we look at a situation, we do not judge. Most of the times when we look at situations, we judge it by our lens, our natural lens. But what we need to do is adapt a supernatural lens to be able to judge and see a matter the way that God sees it. Another thing that wisdom can produce in the life of the believer is to choose as God would choose. To choose as God would choose. One of the things that I thought about is the gift of salvation. Do you realize that up until the time that we have the power of the Holy Spirit to resist sin, we had no control over sin? But once we got the power of the Holy Spirit, we could say to sin, "You do not have a hold on us anymore." So we have the ability to choose. We have the ability to make a choice. We have the ability to conquer whatever it is that comes our way. Another thing that wisdom can produce in the life of believers is to have a godly perspective in all aspects of our lives. All aspects of our lives. So how many of us could use more wisdom when it comes to our job? How many of us could use more wisdom when it comes to raising our children? How many of us could use a little bit more wisdom when it comes to the knowledge of God and pursuing him with all of our heart? How many of us are facing different challenges today that when we look at it, we say to ourselves, we really do not know how to approach it? But the wisdom of God is available to us to navigate those areas of our lives and to change all aspects of our lives. Another thing that wisdom can produce in the life of believers is that a sure outcome in every situation. So wisdom can produce a sure outcome in every situation. Imagine today if you had the wisdom of God. For example, so I think about the NBA Finals, and for the Cavs fans out here, they're going to lose. But the sure outcome, if you had the wisdom of God, every situation that you got into, you already know what the outcome was going to be. I know Deacon Derrick is happy about that, though. Not really, because the Warriors beat the Houston, so it's all good. Wisdom. But in every situation, there is a sure outcome. Why? Because you know that if you've been consulting with God, if you've been if you are in different situations, a sure outcome is that regardless what it is, you know that it's the wisdom of God that is guiding you. You have the proper approach to the different situations that you may have. Another thing that wisdom can produce is an unraveling of the true nature of God. The true nature of God. The true nature of God is wise in all his ways, and there's no one that is wiser than God. So the true nature of God, when you start to see the wisdom of God and have it operate in your life, you start to revere him, and you start to have that fear and reverence for him in every aspect of life. A better understanding of who I am is another thing that the wisdom of God produces. The wisdom of God produces a better understanding of who I am. It says that I do not have all the answers, so I have to depend and I have to lean on God. I cannot see everything, so I have to depend and I have to lean on the understanding of God, because he already knows. I want to know. How many of us, if we look back at some of the decisions that we've made in our lives, we look back and say, I wish I had done something differently. Well, God already knows the outcome, and God already knows. So to tap into that supernatural ability is to also know who we are, what we can accept, what we can undertake, and to use God's power to be better. Creativity. Wisdom can produce creativity in the life of believers. And when I say creativity, have you ever looked at a situation or a particular problem and you apply the same solution to it and it doesn't work? So the wisdom of God says, you know what? I need to approach this a little bit differently. I need the supernatural eye to see why this isn't working the way that I've been tackling it. So creativity is needed in our world today, because there are many issues that we, even as believers, that we struggle with and that we tackle. That if we just had the mind of God and the creativity of God, for example, you know, as a young person, you know, growing up in a traditional church environment, that may not necessarily work for a newer generation. So we need God's creativity to unleash the different ways to reach people and the different ways to reach the world. I got two more and I'm done. What it can produce in the life of believers: you will dwell in safety, and finally, you will have unbelievable success. Everything that you do, as a matter of fact, when you have the wisdom of God, you redefine what success is. You redefine what success is. You no longer chase after what your definition of success is. You chase after what God's definition of success is. And how can you lose if your definition of success is what God says it is? Right? How can we lose? I'll close with this. The wisdom of God is available to us. And it's available to every believer. The book of James talks about, regarding trials, us asking God for wisdom. And when we ask God for wisdom to help us navigate through those trials, let us not go into it with a double-minded mind. Let us believe that God can give us the wisdom. Let us believe that God can give us the supernatural ability to observe and look at things the way that he does. And as a matter of fact, that he desires to give us wisdom. Because as believers, we need wisdom and we need his power in order to not only be productive citizens, but to bring glory unto his kingdom. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for the gathering of all your people here. Thank you for your word and its power. Thank you for the power of Christ, and thank you for your wisdom, and thank you for your wisdom attribute. Lord, this morning, many of us may have challenges that we need a clearer perspective. We need the ability to look at it the way that you would see the situation. There are decisions that we're trying to make today that we may not know where to go, and we're conflicted. But you, Lord, you already know the outcome. You know the end of everything. And you are able to give us the desires of our heart according to your will. So, Lord, we pray this morning that, first of all, that our motives be aligned with you, that our purpose be aligned with your purposes, and that in everything that we do, you give us the wisdom to navigate and to be successful. And, Lord, let everything bring glory unto your holy name. Let all that we do bring honor to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.